And Marie Paris thought the old woman was speaking to her.
Chapter 12. America has invested her religion, as well as her morality, in sound income-paying securities. She has adopted the unassailable position of a nation blessed because it deserves to be blessed, and her sons, whatever other theologies they may affect or disregard, subscribe unreservedly to this national creed. Agnes Repplier, Times and Tendencies. Shadow drove west, across Wisconsin and Minnesota and into North Dakota, where the snow-covered hills looked like huge sleeping buffalo, and he and Wednesday saw nothing but nothing and plenty of it for mile after mile. They went south, then into South Dakota, heading for reservation country. Wednesday had traded in the Lincoln Town Car, which Shadow had liked driving, for a lumbering and ancient Winnebago, which smelled non-specifically but pervasively and unmistakably of male cat, and which he didn't enjoy driving at all. As they passed their first signpost for Mount Rushmore, still several hundred miles away, Wednesday grunted,
"Now that is a holy place."
Shadow had thought Wednesday was asleep. He said,
"I know it used to be sacred to the Indians."
"It's a holy place. That's the American way. They need to give people an excuse to come and worship. These days, people can't just go and see a mountain. Thus, Mr. Gutzon Borglum's tremendous presidential faces. Once they were carved, permission was granted, and now the people drive out in their multitudes to see something in the flesh that they've already seen on 1,000 postcards."
"I knew a guy once. He did weight training at the Muscle Farm years back. He said that the Dakota Indians, the young men climb up the mountain, then form death-defying human chains off the heads, just so that the guy at the end of the chain can piss in the president's nose."
"Oh, fine, very fine. Is any specific president the particular butt of their ire?"
"He never said."
Miles vanished beneath the wheels of the Winnebago. Shadow began to imagine that he was staying still while the American landscape moved past them at a steady 67 miles per hour. The wintry mist fogged the edges of things. It was midday on the second day of the drive, and they were almost there. Shadow, who had been thinking, said,
"A girl vanished from Lakeside last week, when we were in San Francisco."
"Hmm?"
Wednesday sounded barely interested.
"Kid named Allison McGovern. She's not the first kid to vanish there. There have been others. They go in the wintertime."
Wednesday furrowed his brow.
"It is a tragedy, is it not? The little faces on the milk cartons. Although I can't remember the last time I saw a kid on a milk carton. And on the walls of freeway rest areas. Have you seen me?" they ask. A deeply existential question at the best of times. Have you seen me? Pull off at the next exit.
Shadow thought he heard a helicopter pass overhead, but the clouds were too low to see anything.
"Why did you pick Lakeside?"
"I told you. It's a nice quiet place to hide you away. You're off the board there, under the radar."
"Why?"
"Because that's the way it is. Now hang a left."
Shadow turned left.
"There's something wrong. Fuck. Jesus fucking Christ on a bicycle. Slow down. But don't stop."
"Care to elaborate?"
"Trouble. Do you know any alternative routes?"
"Not really. This is my first time in South Dakota. Also, I don't know where we're going."
On the other side of the hill, something flashed redly, smudged by the mist.
"Roadblock,"
said Wednesday. He pushed his hand deeply into first one pocket of his suit, then another, searching for something.
"I can stop and turn around. If we had a jeep, I'd go off-road. But the Winnebago's just gonna tip if I try and drive her across that ditch."
"We can't turn. They're behind us as well. Take your speed down to 10-15 miles per hour."
Shadow glanced into the mirror. There were headlights behind them, under a mile back.
"Are you sure about this?"
Wednesday snorted.
"Sure as eggs is eggs. As the turkey farmer said when he hatched his first turtle. Ah, success."
And from the bottom of a pocket, he produced a small piece of white chalk. He started to scratch with the chalk on the dashboard of the camper, making marks as if he were solving an algebraic puzzle, or perhaps, Shadow thought, as if he were a hobo, scratching long messages to the other hobos in hobo code. Bad dog here. Dangerous town. Nice woman. Soft jail in which to overnight.
Okay. Now increase your speed to 30, and don't slow down from that.
One of the cars behind them turned on its lights and siren and accelerated toward them.
Do not slow down. They just want us to slow before we get to the roadblock.
Scratch, scratch, scratch. They crested the hill. The roadblock was less than a quarter of a mile away. 12 cars arranged across the road, and on the side of the road, police cars and several big black SUVs.
There,
said Wednesday, and he put his chalk away. The dashboard of the Winnebago was now covered with rune-like scratchings. The car with the siren was just behind them. It had slowed to their speed, and an amplified voice was shouting,
"Pull over!"
Shadow looked at Wednesday.
"Turn right. Just pull off the road."
"I can't take this thing off-road. We'll tip."
"It'll be fine. Take a right, now."
Shadow pulled the wheel down with his right hand, and the Winnebago lurched and jolted. For a moment, he thought he had been correct, that the camper was going to tip, and then the world through the windshield dissolved and shimmered like the reflection in a clear pool when the wind brushes the surface and the Dakotas stretched and shifted. The clouds and the mist and the snow and the day were gone. Now there were stars overhead, hanging like frozen spears of light, stabbing the night sky.
"Park here. We can walk the rest of the way."
Shadow turned off the engine. He went to the back of the Winnebago, pulled on his coat, his sorrel winter boots, and his gloves. Then he climbed out of the vehicle and waited.
"Okay, let's go."
Wednesday looked at him with amusement and something else, irritation perhaps, or pride.
"Why don't you argue? Why don't you exclaim that it's all impossible? Why the hell do you just do what I say and take it all so fucking calmly?"
"Because you're not paying me to ask questions."
And then he said, realizing the truth as the words came out of his mouth,
"Anyway, nothing's really surprised me since Laura."
"Since she came back from the dead?"
"Since I learned she was screwing Robbie. That one hurt. Everything else just sits on the surface. Where are we going now?"
Wednesday pointed, and they began to walk. The ground beneath their feet was rock of some kind, slick and volcanic, occasionally glassy. The air was chilly, but not winter cold. They sidestepped their way awkwardly down a hill. It was a rough path, and they followed it. Shadow looked down to the bottom of the hill and realized that what he was looking at was impossible.
"What the hell is that?"
asked Shadow. But Wednesday touched his finger to his lips, shook his head sharply. Silence. It looked like a mechanical spider, blue metal, glittering LED lights, and it was the size of a tractor. It squatted at the bottom of the hill. Beyond it were an assortment of bones, each with a flame beside it, little bigger than a candle flame, flickering. Wednesday gestured for Shadow to keep his distance from these objects. Shadow took an extra step to the side, which was a mistake on that glassy path, as his ankle twisted and he tumbled down the slope, as if he had been dropped, rolling and slipping and bouncing. He grabbed at a rock as he went past, and the obsidian snag ripped his leather glove as if it were paper. He came to rest at the bottom of the hill between the mechanical spider and the bones. He put a hand down to push himself to his feet and found himself touching what appeared to be a thigh bone with the palm of his hand, and he was standing in the daylight, smoking a cigarette, and looking at his watch. There were cars all around him, some empty, some not. He was wishing he had not had that last cup of coffee, for he dearly needed a piss, and it was starting to become uncomfortable. One of the local law enforcement people came over to him, a big man with frost in his walrus mustache. He had already forgotten the man's name.
"I don't know how we could have lost him,"
says local law enforcement, apologetic and puzzled.
"It was an optical illusion. You get them in freak weather conditions. The mist. It was a mirage. They were driving down some other road. We thought they were on this one."
Local law enforcement looks disappointed.
"Oh, I thought it was maybe like an X-Files kind of thing."
"Nothing so exciting, I'm afraid.
He suffers from occasional hemorrhoids, and his ass has just started itching in the way that signals that a flare-up is coming. He wants to be back inside the beltway. He wishes there was a tree to go and stand behind. The urge to piss is getting worse. He drops the cigarette and steps on it.